Hello?
Hi, everybody. All right. Let's see who we have present. I know we have Mac, I just heard his name got announced, so Mac, welcome.
Thank you.
Is Andy here? Well, Mindy, I think, is going to be off today. Her daughter is is ill, I believe. Carolyn?
Right here.
There we go. And Jennifer?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. And Deb?
Deb's here.
And Ron?
I'm here, Dave.
Very good. And Phyllis?
I'm here.
Good. And Jerry. How about David?
I'm here.
Good. And Sandra? How about Oliver?
I'm here, Dave.
Very good. And Amy? All right. Well, welcome back, folks. This is our final session together. Session 6 on the art and science of using DISC in coaching. We're going to recap some stuff here today. We're going to cover some material about how the DISC profile actually works, and some detail behind that, as well as how to obtain profiles for yourself or for your clients, how to make money with DISC, all kinds of good stuff we're going to cover here tonight with you. A couple quick reminders. I am out of the office right now. I'm traveling. So if you submitted your exam yet, I have not looked at it. I won't be back in my office till Sunday night. Don't review things until at least Monday. So no need to rush those things in. It's be aware if you get them in sooner. I won't review them until at least Sunday night or Monday morning. Before we get started, questions about things from our last session or questions in general that are not part of tonight's topic?
Dave, Ron here. Just a quick reminder about reviewing the DISC as a 360 at the end, if you wouldn't mind a couple of minutes. Thank you.
DISC 360. All right, then I'll make sure I cover that at the end. Anything else I should cover? Probably you had need questions answered on. All right. Let's go ahead and get into it and quick review what we've done so far. Over the last 5 sessions, we've reviewed a lot of material here. Talked about the DISC model, the DISC, and how it relates to the concepts of people being more outgoing versus reserved, more people versus task orientation. We also reviewed Dr. Marston's original thought model around how people interact with the environment around them, being more powerful and less powerful, a positive environment, or a negative environment, and how these models kind of relate to each other. And I can just tell you that even now, sometimes when I'm thinking about a person not quite sure where they fit in, I kind of go back to Dr. Marston's original model and say, how do they fit into that model? And sometimes it's easy to figure out then how they fit into the DISC profile. We talked in session 1 about what DISC does and does not measure, and that really is important to understand that DISC is a wonderful tool that works for us very well, but only works in certain areas. And actually, when you talk to people about DISC and they have that skeptical approach to putting them into a box, keep in mind we're talking about People are different, as Marcin would say, but in some key areas they are predictably different. So the box we're putting into you, if we're going to call it that, is only for a very small portion of who you really are, not for your entirety. We discussed that your hairy window and the idea of opening up that window through use of DISC and helping us understand more about our clients, then understand more about us, dominating that arena as a way to get deeper into coaching. We discussed the behavioral style chart, and again, I encourage you guys to learn how to use that chart, to draw off that chart, if you will, versus just having a pretty picture to show people. Because drawing that chart and walking through somebody how that chart works is a very powerful sales tool, both one-on-one coaching and groups as well. We discussed the four primary person of behavioral styles, the D, the I, the S, and the C. And even more importantly, we talked about tips for coaching those four styles at a very broad, high level. Because the real key is the next step on here, which is the fact that there are combinations which are very, very powerful, helping to find who people really are at a much deeper level than a simple D, I, S, and C. And some of the challenges of coaching some of those styles, if you look in the back of your profile with the different combinations that are on there, that right-hand side, well, actually, the whole description there tells you key things to worry about coaching about around your client. So those are very, very helpful to know how to coach your client, where they're going to have challenges, and how you can deal with them. So questions about that material so far? All right. Let's talk about how to administer DISC, the physical process of administering DISC. So there are fundamentally two ways to administer DISC. One is the online version that you guys used, and the other is done by paper, literally a paper profile. So let's walk through the paper idea first, because it is the nuts and bolts of how you calculate DISC. So you should have a sheet that's called Calculating DISC, which also shows a response page on there. And what that is, that's literally a copy of the Inkscape DISC paper profile. So you can see the categories of four words and the columns marked most and least. And actually this is designed as a scratch-off. So when you're going through, now we have some use that scratch-off obviously, but when we pass out paper profiles, they are scratched off in little blue books, about 15 pages long. And this is in there as a scratch-off. And so you go through and say, okay, let's have that enthusiastic, daring, diplomatic, and satisfied. Which of those words is most like me? And you scratch off the one that's most like you. Which of those words is least like me? Scratch off the one least like you. Now, similar to what you guys did on the online profile, but this reveals as you go along what the numbers are, what the characters are. Now, it does not display a D, I, S, or C. Instead, it displays squares, triangles, stars, circles, and a fifth symbol, I don't recall what it even is right now. So it doesn't say, so D, I, S, and C. But it does help you identify what the different styles are, and I'll show you how that works in a minute here. As you go through each of the sets of four words, you scratch off the most, you scratch off the least. You finish all 28 words, as you're going to go through the scoring process at that point in time. And the way that works is that you actually tally up the number of squares, number of circles, number of rectangles, number of triangles, and the stars, you will. And those are your D, I, S, and C. This is explained, by the way, in great detail in the paper profile manual. It walks you how to do this very detailed in there. So you go through, look at the most column and say, well, how many squares do I have? You count those squares up, and they become your high D. You count the number of circles that are the most column, and that becomes your high I. Now, the actual guide there in the book tells you which ones are which, for a particular profile, but you're looking to say, okay, I've got the squares, triangles, circles, the stars, etc. And they equate to the DIS and C. The one extra one there are for some squares in here that mean basically none of the above. Have I lost anybody yet?
So where are these symbols? Where do we see those? They color in the dots. Where are the symbols?
They actually scratch out. You scratch off the most and least. And the symbol's underneath that, so the scratch off shows underneath that.
Oh, I see. Got it.
Yeah, like with a coin, like the old, like a lottery ticket.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. So now, obviously, since there are 28 responses, hi, Sandy.
Oh, sorry, I was late. Apologies.
It's okay. We're actually looking at the table in your sheets for today labeled calculating disk.
Okay, great.
We're walking through how that works on a paper profile, and in the paper profile there's a scratch-offs.
Okay.
So you're going to scratch off the different words that are most and least like you. All right. So I'm going to skip
great,
a little ahead here. So there are 28 words scratched off in the most column. So when you total up the five categories, including the one that's none of the above, you should get 28. Very logical, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, and when you do this in groups, there's always someone who says, I got 30, or I got 25. You're like, you got to have 28. Are you sure? I counted them right. There's 28 most responses. I swear there are 28 words. You should have 28 most. All right. Then you do the same thing with the least column. And those go, and if you look at the words, it's calculating disk dash 2, where you can see we have the row for the most, the row for the least, and then subtract. You guys see that page in there as well? Yeah. So when you count the numbers up for DIS and C, you're going to post them in a page that looks just like that in the workbook. You get 28 most, then you go to line 2, and you count the least. And again, it should equal 28. If it doesn't, you've done something wrong, because there are 28 sets of words. Now, pause right there, and go back to that line 1, where you've entered your most responses. Those are the numbers. They're going to create your graph 1. Remember we said way back in session 1, the most responses create the mask. I'm sorry. Create graph 1 for you. Okay? And so you literally post those on the graph 1. The same thing is true of line 2, the least. Those are posted to graph number 2. And then just give you some math here, literally, and say, okay, now, the number of D's I had on the most, subtract from that the number of D's I had on the least, and that difference becomes graph 3. Now, in some cases, those numbers may be negative. That's okay. So copy that for the D, the I, the S, and the C. For the stars, no reason to do that at all because I don't post the stars. But now you have the components of your most graph, your least graph, and your graph 3, which is the difference between 1 and 2. Make sense, everybody? Okay. All right. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so far so good, Dave. It's Ron here. I remember raising that point right in the early sessions with the column I'm referring to the report now that has the N headed over it. I gather that's the star in this case, which you deferred until later. Are you going to deal with that in this particular session?
I'm sorry, say it again because I didn't quite catch it.
Dave, what I said was in the very first early, I think it's session 1 or 2, where you were going over session 2, the scoring, there is a column headed N in the report.
Oh, yes.
Which you deferred until later. I gather that is the column that is headed by a star in this instance. And my question was, are you going to deal with that in this session?
Yeah, it's not the star, but it's part of the process here. So this is how you create graphs 1, 2, and 3. So the next step in this process, though, is to create the combination style. And the way that works, and I don't think I had a copy of that from the profile here. I should have done that. When you plot graph 3, look at your own page 3 on your look at your own page 3 on your profile. And what you'll see there is on graph 3, as you plot that line 3 across there, there's some numbers on the left-hand side, and then there are also what they call segment numbers on the right-hand side. And these segments are what you use to calculate your combination, your style combination. So when you plot graph 3 and you plot your final D number, you carry it across to the segment number, and that number goes at the bottom of the chart as a first number in your combination style. Then you plot the I. You carry it across the right-hand column, get that segment number, that goes in the second box. For the S, say again, you plot the S, carry it across the segment number, that goes in the third box. And then the C is the same way. Plot your C, carry it across, get your segment number, that gives you the fourth number there. That's the four digits that make up your combination style, your classical pattern. Okay. Now, you have those four numbers. Now, what do you do with them? So inside the paper profile, there's actually about four pages that literally show all the possible combinations in numeric order. So you go through, you find that combination, and it tells you which profile, classical profile, applies to that graph. Does that make sense?
I think I got lost somewhere in the process.
Okay. This is doing for the profile, by the way, is a great way to really reinforce your knowledge of disk, but it's a little difficult to do. But it's really good practice for you. And I think I mentioned once, if I carry things around in my case, it'll be all the time. so I can do it with people on the spot. And showing how you do it really helps impress them as well. But you post your most, you post your least, calculate your difference.
Mm-hmm.
What's the calculating disk? Page 2. And the four numbers down there that represent the change mm-hmm. get plotted onto graph 3 in the little manual itself. And when you post those things on the graph 3, look where your dots posted on there. And then you carry this over to the right-hand side to see what segment number that's associated with.
Okay.
And the segment for the D becomes the first box at the bottom of the page on your own page 3. They don't show that there, I don't think. They show numbers there, don't they? I don't recall off the top of my head. Where it shows your classical pattern. Are the numbers posted above that? I don't recall off the top of my head if they are or not. I sense the answer must be no.
No.
Okay. So, when you plot that graph 3 on the chart, you carry it across the right-hand side, there'll be something there called a segment number. And it's 1 through, I think, 7 is what it is. And post that number at the bottom of the page. First one's D, second one's I, third is S, four is C. And then that creates your classical pattern. Look that number up, the chart in the back of the little manual they give to you. That's what your pattern is. Does that help?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is really a thing to go through and practice. It really is quite helpful, to tell you the truth. I've done a bunch of paper profiles, and once you know how to do them, it gets pretty easy. But at first, it's a little confusing. I admit that. So you might ask, why would you want to use paper when the computer is so much simpler? Well, there are some reasons. And what I mentioned before was, you're with somebody. You're with the CEO of a company with 200 employees. And you're doing it with him right in the spot because he's asked questions about it and you're showing him and demonstrating knowledge about this in the process. And that could lead to an engagement worth, $20,000 or $30,000 to you. So best to do it then while the iron's hot, if you will, then to anyone that's on the computer a week later or a couple days later, right there on the spot, show them how it works. That's also good. People you're working with are not technology savvy. I did a group of home builders. The guy says, "My folks don't even have computers." All right, fine. Use paper profiles. I said it with the fire department, and they said, "We're not technically savvy either, the fire department." That surprised me. But we used paper for them as well. It's cheaper than the computerized profiles are. I recall these being around $26, $27. The computer ones are about $35, $37 each, so a little cheaper than computer profiles. There's a lot of C types in the room. You're doing a group of engineers, something like that, a group of accountants. They like this stuff. They'll enjoy the paper profile. You can use it then. A great way to show how much you know about disk by walking them through and talking them through the process. As you score it, they begin to see what you're doing and how it all makes sense. I do speeches around disk. I have a great story about 4 minutes of the round table where I'm going to be executed. Execution fails, and then the four reactions to the failed execution are a D, and I, and S, and C. It's very entertaining. I embellish it quite a bit. But then at the end of the speech, you can give away a disk profile paper right there on the spot and show someone how it really works. It's a great giveaway that way. I've given away a sales lead. I've mailed my people and say, "Here's your disk profile. Complete this page. Call me with the results, and I'll pay what your profile means." That works so well. And I've given away literally 80 kind of profiles a year. in these various different ways. And they more pay themselves because they lead to more business. They lead to more coaching for the person one-on-one, or they lead to group work. It's a lot more work to do paper, no question about it. It takes a lot more time, and the results don't come out, you know, nice neat computers with the person's name in them. But it's a lot, it's impressive to watch someone do this, like doing a magic trick almost, right? Or like reading someone's tea leaves when you do this on paper. All right. So that's the paper version. That's the hard way to do things, but can be effective for you sometimes. Now, you can also use the online version. Or say differently, here's how the online version works. I'll put it that way for you. The system is called EPIC. And what happens is, if you guys saw here, I sent you an access code. Each access code is unique to the person you sent it out to. Click on the code, you take the profile. Now what I set up for you, I have some options I could set up. I could say use the Word version, which is the standard version, or an option for a phrase version. So someone's English is not so good. Well, I said that terrible, didn't I? Or if someone maybe they're too young to know what some of the words mean, you can use the phrase version, which is the same concept, but instead of a single word, it's a phrase to describe somebody. Okay? You can also mark on the actual code before you send it out, when the report's done, can they see it right away, or can they not see it? Now, in your case, you all saw your reports right away. Oftentimes, though, with clients, I say, no, they can't see it until I show it them when I'm ready for it. So I can mark that, no, they can't see it right away. I can say, I want only graph 3, or I want all 3 graphs. I like all 3 graphs. I have a choice of English or Spanish. Okay? And to set this up for a client who wants a disk profile, it's 2 to 3 minutes to do all this once you've logged in. It's very quick, very easy to do. Now, let me pause for a minute here and talk to you a little bit about disk profiles in general. What we've done here in this class is use something called the Disk Classic 2.0 version. I like this version. I like it a lot because it shows the different points for D, I, S, and C. And I can see that my D is real high, and my I is in the middle, and my C is real low, but S is high. I can see the points on the graph and how they relate to each other. Now, there's a newer version out of this that a lot of people are using, including Inkscape uses it, which is not the graphs you guys have seen, but a circle with a single dot inside the circle represents your style. Now, the advantage of that is that it doesn't confuse people with the combination, if you will. It's, that's my dot. The downside is you can't see how things combine very easily. You can't see that high D or high I compared to their S and their C. You only get a single dot. You also have the 3-graph comparison. It tells you this may not be exactly the way it needs to be because something may be wrong here. But it's newer, and it's very popular. And if you want to use that, you can certainly use those as well. I have those, again, through Inkscape. I got to tell you, they cost a lot more than the Disk 2.0 Classic does, which is what I prefer. Say at retail, the Disk 2.0 is $37.50. Most of these ones that are done in the new style are about $80 to $100. So I like Classic 2.0. Questions before I go on? On the newer versions, there are actually some reports that are designed just for sales, just for make of that kind of stuff. If you guys have those kind of things yourself, drop me a note. I'll send you a copy of a sample report. You can see what they look like.
All right.
Let's talk about how to make money with disk. The simplest way you make money with disk is a coaching add-on. Now, I do not require disk of new clients. I never have. But the simple reality is people know me for disk. So a lot of them, when they call me, they say, and I want to do a disk profile. Okay, happy to do that. I don't require new clients. But what you can do is tell someone, yeah, I'll do the disk profile for you because I use that as part of my practice. And by the way, with the disk profile, I don't sell it myself. I sell it with a coaching session. The cost of that is $250. Profile plus an hour of my time. So that way, it's a great way to make it an add-on to your coaching practice, an introduction to your coaching practice. You get people in the door and paying some reasonable money for your coaching so they know what to expect in the future. One of the big pluses of DISC is that it gives you a common language to use with your clients. Whether they're a D, an I, an S, a C, whatever the combination pattern is, you can use the DISC language to talk to them about the challenges they're having. Let's talk about here a minute for pure style. I work with a pure I client. Okay? And I might say, you know, instead of saying people don't take you seriously, I might say, so let's talk about how the II's weaknesses are. What are the challenges of the high I? And they can use the DISC words to describe the challenges the high I has. And go to the conclusion then of, okay, so because I'm so jovial, don't take me seriously. Yeah. So it's not nearly as harsh as pointing things out to the client, if you will. It's a nice, safe, common language to use to describe the challenges. So you're not indecisive, but you're a high C. And how does high C make decisions? Well, with all the facts. And how did you get all the facts? Well, you keep digging and digging and digging. Take a lot of time to do that? Yeah, it really does. How about that approve people? Well, they didn't think I'm indecisive. So you got there away without having to make them feel bad about who they are. The disk profile can show insights into blind spots very naturally. Even just reading the profile itself, they can see the blind spots. And they jump out at you. DISC identifies natural strengths and weaknesses of every particular person based on their classical pattern. Helps identify sources of fears and conflicts. And people oftentimes know these things in the back of their head someplace, but when they see it in front of them, and they see the words, they go, yeah, you know what, that really is the challenge I'm having. It gives them the words to use to describe the problems that they're going through. You can also use this to develop relationship plans. Two people sitting together, this profile saying, you guys have different profiles. What are you going to do to work together? I did this with a husband and wife about almost a couple of years ago now. My husband had done it with me, and he loved it. I actually done it in a group session and said, the wife and I are having some problems. The stuff work at home. What are you doing for my wife? Well, I don't do relationship coaching. But as a favor to him, I said, sure, I'll do one for you. We'll just talk a little over lunch one day. So she took the profile, and she was reluctant to do it. She was a high C, secondary S. We had lunch, and I knew up front, in her profile, that she was going to be tentative about this and hesitant because she didn't necessarily buy into it. So having lunch, I said to her, so let me just guess here. Steve told you about this lunch last night. She goes, yeah, how'd you know that? I said, oh, okay, well, that's, you know, kind of his style. And he told you he was at his computer, right? Well, yeah. And he told you this. He looked at his computer and I didn't look at you, right? She starts laughing now. Yeah, how'd you know that? Says, and he told you he had to be with me. You were very surprised by that. And he acted like it was no big deal. She goes, how, were you there last night? Did you hear all this? It was merely his profile versus hers. But it helped her see how they were very different and how he was not abnormal or potentially treating her badly. It was his style that was involved here. We looked at stock combinations. They created relationship plans together. They went off on their own, and they're still married. They're still doing well now, so it works. You can do the same for business or personal by saying, here are the two styles. I can coach you around the differences here, and I communicate more effectively together. So, but you're for it, you know, sell the profile for X number of dollars, or sell with a coaching session the preferable way for X plus. Now, the report you guys took is the DISC Classic 2.0. I mentioned that before. Once you've done that, you can add on additional reports at a minimal charge that get deeper into details about certain things. There are 6 reports you see listed on there. So, Mickey Lane with DISC 2. And these reports, how do I say this? There's a cost for you to create additional reports, but it's not a per report price. If you give someone the report and say, here's a report, and coach them for like a month on that, and they say, you know, I need to understand more about how I want to be managed. Okay. So you can then charge them again for a second, another report, the second report here about how they want to be managed, okay, and you pay for that report. Monthly, they sit there and say, yeah, let's talk about the relationship issue. How do I do that? You can get for that report if you want to, but you don't pay for any more of the reports. You get all 6 of those for the same price, for one price. You can issue them all together or issue them separately. That's confusing. I understand that. Key point is there's an add-on you can use here for minimal cost that you can use to create more depth around these 6 areas for coaching.
So, Dave, if you decide you want to use one of them, such as maybe the approach to selling, and you use that, and then the same client has is trying to create a positive relationship down the road with someone else, can you order that one in addition? Or do you get them all at one time?
You can get them all at once, or you can do them all separately.
Okay. So is it one cost for all 6?
Yes, it is. One cost for all 6. And you go back in the report and say, I want the second section here now. Just remember, oh, yeah, you already paid for this. And you just have to put on it for free.
Okay.
So pretty good deal that way. You can parcel out a little bit of time to your client. That's what you want to do with them, or give them all at one time if you want to do that. I give them to them a little bit at a time because otherwise it's overwhelming sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So on this additional information that they want, do you break out an extra charge for this, or how would you do that, Dave? I mean, just
I charge them for it. Yeah, they want to go to the next level. Okay, that report's additional. And I don't charge them a lot. I charge them, you know, $25, something like that. Because it does cost me money to create the second report, so I charge them for it. But when I create the third and fourth or fifth report, the sixth report, there's no additional charge for those. I can still charge them as a rate to increase the revenue because they're getting additional depth and benefit from it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. So, DISC gives you that, and that client, that common language to use. That's an important aspect of what DISC does for you. It can be used to identify areas for development with your client, things that they might not have seen themselves, things that have the words to put around what they were seeing. It gives them that language they have to use there. It's a great first step in discussing emotional intelligence. Simple concept of emotional intelligence is know yourself, know others, manage yourself, manage relationships. This is a start to that. This helps you know yourself very well. And if you apply it to others as well, you can see then how to know others and then begin to male-male relationships. So when Dr. Buffin does her class on emotional intelligence with students or with her clients, she includes DISC as part of that. Her class on emotional intelligence, she talks about DISC for like 10 minutes, but it's an important part of what they do with their clients. And DISC can be a great sales tool. Like I mentioned before, you know, a single DISC profile given to the right person with the right set of knowledge opens up a lot of coaching for you, or can open up a whole bunch of group work for you as well. So I'll be blatant about it. I use DISC as a marketing tool. I'm marketing with DISC. I get people talking about DISC, and I hooked in with DISC. It led to a lot of coaching and a lot of groups over the years. That's just me. That's what worked for me, though. Questions so far? All right. Let's talk about how do I get DISC. How do I get to my clients? A couple different options you have here. Now, if you're only going to use DISC occasionally, with a handful of clients a year, the simplest, cheapest thing to do is to go ahead and buy one at retail. I can sell it to you or somebody else can either. Can as well. You can find them on websites. They're going to be about $37.50. That's the right range for the big things costing anybody you're going to talk to. Okay. If you want one for a client, you send me an email with their name and their email address. I set up an access code. I send you the report. I bill you through PayPal. And it's really simple to do. For a handful a year, it's the simplest and cheapest way to do it. Now, the bad news is, you get that report, it's got my name and my logo on it. Now, that's not a bad thing for today because you're talking to them face-to-face, they know who you are. They put it in their drawer, forget about it for 2 years, and pull out and go, this is really cool stuff, I should use this in my business. Who do I call? They see my name there. Happens occasionally, I get those kind of calls. I don't know where they come from sometimes. So that's the bad side of that one, is that it's got my name and logo on there. Now you could, if you wanted to, you know, I send a report to you, you could write it out or put a new first page on it if you wanted to, just that it comes that way with my name and logo on it. That's the simplest way to do a handful of profiles a year. Now, option two, if you're going to use a dozen or more a year, you think, and maybe do some workshops, then the best way to do this is what they call a sub-account. Now, SubAccount does, it allows you access into the Inscape system directly. So when you decide you want to do a profile, whether it be 1 or 100, you log on the system yourself, enter the data in yourself, create the report and profile yourself, it goes out to the client immediately, and it's got your name and your logo on it. It only involves me in terms of getting the account set up for you and then helping you fulfill the credits that you used to buy these things with. I'll explain that to you in a second here. That's what you use me for. Also, you can use me as a sounding board. You know, I got a profile team. What is this mean? Look at these odd things on here. And which happens when you buy them this way, they're cheaper per report to buy this way. They're $37.50 to buy a report at retail, the $29 you're buying through a sub-account. So you save about $8 per report. There's a one-time setup fee on these of $165. And that's to get your account set up for you. There is no additional charge throughout the rest of the year. It's not a matter, but not an annual fee. It's a one-time setup fee. So as you see, about 20 reports, this thing is paid for itself, and you're actually saving money each profile that you do. The standard DISC Classic 2.0 report costs 10 credits each. And this works like a bank account. You deposit, you spend money to buy these credits, which are held in your account for you, and you want to do a profile, you spend the credits. So 10 credits is $29. Standard Classic 2.0 report. And those are four of the ones that are now the circular with a little dot on them. Those are average $25 to $35 credits. Yeah, credits per report. So they're a lot more expensive. I like the Classic one better. If you do a sub account and you first set it up, you put 100 credits in your account to get it set up. And then say you spend them as you need to buy your reports. Now, actually, the third option here, which is to do what I did, which is to become a distributor. Now, if you're going to sell a lot of disks, as in 80, 100 or more per year, you may essentially consider buying, becoming a distributor. There's a initial fee to get set up. It's right around $3,500 to get initial setup through that. And it comes required with 2 days of training at your expense in Minneapolis with Inscape. The training is not about disk so much, it's about how to use their products. It focuses mainly on the newer products, the circular model, and not on the things we've done here in this kind of a class. There's an annual renewal fee on that as well, about $300 per year to renew. That might go up, I don't know, I can't speak for what Inscape's going to do. But, so the one-time fee plus an annual renewal fee as well. But the plus of that one is you can then buy credits at a much lower rate because you're now a distributor. You can tell people, I'm an Inscape distributor. Put that on your website. And that has some bearing for it as well. It pays for itself if you're going to sell 100 or more per year. Will you or won't you? You know, I can't tell you. Only you know what you're going to put into it. So that's three ways you can get hold of disk profiles to use them with your clients. If you want to use paper profiles, you know, send me a note. I can mail those to you as well. So those are the three ways to get disk. Because of how often you're going to use it. There are a number of sites besides my own where you can buy disk profiles. You're not limited to just me. Keep in mind, if you see them out there, make sure you get the ones that, preferably from Inscape, the ones that we saw used here in class. There are others as well. If you want to use them instead, you know, the theories are the same, the reports are going to look a little different. But that's three ways to get the disk material. Did I confuse all of you with that, plus those last three options?
Well, you were saying it's $2,500. That's the setup with the credits and all of that. That would cover that initial setup. Is that what you're saying?
The $3,500 about that range for Inscape.
Okay.
Yeah, that gives you a distributorship, and it's an independent renewal fee.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
If you do a sub-account, it's $455 for the sub-account itself and 100 credits, which is about 10 reports for it. Other questions or comments?
So I wanted to talk about the sub-account, Dave. It's Sandy.
Sure, Sandy.
So you do you always have to keep it at 100 credits?
No.
You always have to
no.
Put minimum credit limit?
Now, there's a number in there you can actually control that says, when I get down to this low, send me a note so I know I'm getting low on credits. But that can be set to zero if you want it to. And if it goes to zero and sits at zero, that's okay, too. I mean, I wouldn't put it there. So I don't want to get credit. I want to get stuff faster than that. But, no, initially it's 100 credits. You want to run down to 10 or 20 and then before you refill it. That's fine. You run a zero, doesn't close your account. you just can't order anything else because you have no credits in your account.
So as a sub-account to yours, essentially, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay, so and so we approach you for that directly.
Yeah, I can do, I can do it for you or someone else can either, but I'm happy to do it for you.
Okay, okay, good.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Other questions? No? Really? All right. Well, let's talk about DISCO as a 360, which is the question that we had earlier. There actually is a DISC 360 report available. And what it is similar, if you will, to other 360s, except it's a lot more limited in terms of what it does. It asks others about your behavioral styles. And it then creates a view of those around you. You guys know what a 360 is? Let's just start with that. You guys know what a 360 is? Anybody does know what a 360 is?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Yes.
A 360, in general, a 360 is a report that's designed to that all people work for me and beside me and above me tell me how I'm doing. So they fill some kind of a questionnaire that says, how does Dave handle these kind of things? And then it says, so Dave, you view yourself really strong this way, people around you view you as weak this way, and it's a different view. Instead of my own view, it's their view of how they see me. It can be a marvelous tool. I've used a number of them. There are some challenges with the 360s, and one challenge is that they're supposed to be confidential, but you can write comments on these 360s as well. People often reveal who they are through their comments, which can get them into trouble or be misconstrued or used inappropriately. So as a 360 as a tool, it's a very handy tool. But trying to get any feedback from people around you as opposed to your own thoughts and views. On a DISC 360, it's the same idea. People fill out the comments about you, but now it's based on DISC attributes as opposed to things in general. Now, a couple of things about the report that they tried to make things differently than a standard 360. As I mentioned before, people sometimes give themselves away when they're responding to their comments. Well, the DISC 360 does not allow comments anyplace. So it eliminates that problem of people getting revealed that way, but also eliminates some valuable feedback in the process as well. Also, when the report comes out, instead of showing you all the things that are good and challenges, it only shows you three things to work on. So it's a much more limited view of a 360 than a standard 360 is. And it's based entirely toward DISC. I've used it a few times. To me, it's an okay tool. It's not a wonderful tool. If you wanted to use it, I wouldn't tell you not to. But I wouldn't try and get it easily either. I wouldn't sit and say, yeah, you got him. This is the greatest thing ever. Yeah, it's okay. It's good. Not fantastic. It does come out with a new style with a single point for you versus having the graphs that we use here in class. So it's a new version. But it can be helpful to get a good idea of what people think of the target in this case. Did I answer your question for you? Ron had the question, I think it was.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. That was Ron. I still have the one question left, jumping ship a little bit with regards to that last column with what the N actually means with the digits in it. If you can address that one, that would be great.
That column on the right-hand side?
Yeah, that's on page 23 of the final report. It's the very final page, which gives you your tally box.
Right.
And you've got DISC, and on the very right-hand side is the N with a bunch of numbers in that. And I'm just curious as to know what those actually mean. Do they mean anything?
I don't have my charts of bonuses. I'm traveling right now. Are the numbers just 1 through 7?
Sorry, Dave, that was a bit indistinct. Can you say that again?
Are the numbers there on that right-hand side just 1 through 7? Or 0 through 7?
I've got a 1 and a 0, if that means anything. So I'm not sure if there should be 1 through 7. Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry, you're talking about as a segment, yes, they 1 through 7. That's in graph 1, 2, and 3. I'm talking about the tally box beneath that.
At the bottom of the graph 3? About? And what numbers are there?
Well, you've got your scoring, your most, your least, and your difference, with
right.
scores under the D and the I and the S and the C. But right next to that is a column that is headed up with a capital N for Nelly. And that's got a digit in the most and a digit in the least and blanked out under difference.
Okay. I'm sorry. That's a simple answer. That's the ones that were none of the above. Didn't fit the DIS or C categories. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question before. So the numbers in there are the ones that... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
So if you look back at the earlier version, we had the page that said showed the actual words on that. When I did a calculating disk. If the words you chose, let's say... find one here. Let's see here. If you chose a word that was not a DIS or C word as the one that was most or least like you, that's going to show up in that column.
Okay. So that's almost like doesn't fit the profile.
Right. There's a handful of words scattered throughout the 28 words here that are neither D, I, S, or C.
Okay, great. Thank you for that, Dave.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question earlier, Ron. That was actually an easy answer once I understood it. Sorry about that. Yeah, if you look down at on that page, number 6, gentle, persuasive, humble, original. I think that's none of the above, original. So certain words kind of go out there, fit none of the four categories. So
what's the purpose of having those in the instrument?
You know, that's a good question. It's one for the PhDs, not for me, though. I'm afraid I can't answer that question for you.
No, that's fair. Head. That's fair. I just wondered if anybody would ask that we would administer the instrument to. But that's
no one's ever asked me before. I mean, you know, and I've been asked in class. I've never been asked before that by somebody after class. I'll say, well, wasn't even in there. Who asked that question most likely? Probably a high C.
That's hilarious.
Why is it in there?
No high C qualities.
Because you have curiosity in this case, right?
Yeah, it really is just curiosity because I'm wondering if I'll get asked the question, that's all.
Yeah, the C's won't want to explain why. Well, no, that's not a good reason. Why is it in there? We'll find out why.
Okay. I'm okay with the answer, really. It's a question for PhDs. I'm good with that.
Okay. Other questions I can answer for you? Okay. Well, this brings us to the end of our 6 sessions together. I'll be corresponding with you guys about your test results next week. You guys all got the exam, I assume, correct?
Yeah.
Anybody did not get the exam?
No, got it.
Okay. So, yeah, if you have questions about that, or if you started doing some disk profiles and you say, okay, I've done a couple of them now and I'm really confused, call me. You guys all have my office number, okay? Don't be shy. I don't charge for the consultation, if you will. If you have a question about how a disk you've given out and say, I'm confused, after the sixth or seventh call, I might start charging you then. But, you know. Other than that, I'm pretty good about this kind of stuff. Okay?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys enjoy this kind of these sessions?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Great.
Yeah. I think it's a great tool. I mean, I understand limitations of disk, but I use the heck out of it, and I say it helped make my practice very successful. So I hope it does the same for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If you have questions later, feel free to, you know, drop me a line or give me a call. If I can't talk to you right then, I'll call you back, but I'm happy to answer questions for you. I want you guys all to be successful. I want you guys all to be great coaches with great practices.
Wow.
Okay?
Thank you so much,
Thank you.
Dave.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Dave.
All right. So I hope we'll talk to you guys all again soon. If not, been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.